Dr. Gadi Taub is a historian, author, political commentator. He serves as a senior lecturer at the Hebrew University of Jerusalem. Dr. Gadi Taub, good morning. Thank you for joining us today. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good, and I think things are looking much better in our area.
Well, certainly they have to look better when you're not in a bomb shelter. So I think that is a given. The fact is,
I have to confess, I was happy in the bomb shelter too.
Really?
Because finally, yeah, after 30 years under the shadow of the Iranian nuclear program, we were finally doing something. And you know, it is a major component of Zionism that the age-long passivity of Jews has ended with the onset of the Israeli state. And I think that affects the diaspora too, because diaspora too has become a choice. And being active rather than just hoping for outside help is crucial. So I was happy in the shelter too.
Okay, there are so many things there that you said that were interesting. What do you mean being in the diaspora is a choice or is a choice? Can you expand on that?
Yeah, for 2,000 years, diaspora was the only option for Jews. And now any Jew anywhere can make aliyah and come to Israel. I was always, until very recently, I thought that the law of return in Israel should be unqualified and that any Jew anywhere can use it. I'm no longer sure, because Jews who support BDS, as in America, or Jews who support an organization, an anti-Israeli organization like J Street, which calls for an embargo on weapons to Israel in the midst of a war, I think a different law should apply to them. We have a law here that enables us to bar the entry of anyone who is actively promoting the BDS, the boycott, sanctions, and divestment movement designed to suffocate Israel. We have a law against people like this entering the country, and I think it should apply to Jews too.
I would love to put that out to listeners. Give me your thoughts on that. Dr. Gadi Taub is saying that he believes that the law of return should be qualified. And if you're part of the BDS movement as, well, we actually call them as a Jew, even though I always wonder, because a lot of them don't seem so Jewish, but never mind that. If somebody would qualify for the law of return, and they're part of a J Street, a BDS movement, I don't know, whatever it is for Palestine, do you think that they should lose that right? I'd love to hear that from you. Should their children? I mean, do they lose it forever? How does it work? Give me your thoughts on 061-895-1019. On that subject, I would argue that one of the biggest challenges that the, I'm not even going to say pro-Israel community, I'm going to say the community advocating for truth, one of the biggest challenges that we've had is, are the so-called the as a Jews, the comic Dave Smith, who I have no idea if he is or isn't Jewish, but openly proclaims how Jewish he is. It's these types of Jews that do us the most damage, because they're the most amplified. They're the ones that are given the slots on mainstream media, whereas Jews like myself won't be. So the question is, how do we deal with that? Have we found the right way to deal with this element from within?
I don't know. We are, democracies have this dilemma always, and I don't think I'm Bet Shammai on this. I don't think I'm on the extreme side, because I wholeheartedly support the freedom of speech. But once you actively work to sabotage the war effort in a country fighting for survival, then that is not protected by free speech. That is not an opinion. That is a danger to the very existence of the state of Israel, and democracies have to protect themselves from destruction from within. Again, I'm for putting that line quite far away. I don't think we should start, sifting through people's social media to see if they wrote that they from the river to the sea. I'm talking about people who actively worked for an embargo on weapons to a country fighting for its life. I have no definition. For them, adversaries is not the right term, because adversaries imply an intellectual disagreement. And they are not adversaries. They are working for the enemy. And therefore, I don't think that the question is one of freedom of speech.
So how would you apply that to Haaretz?
Well, Haaretz is probably the most effective organ for anti-Semitic propaganda around the world. They are quoted by Nazi websites, real Nazi websites. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Daily Stormer, things that are banned from the internet. They are constantly quoted by them. I just noticed, this week, that the Iranian propaganda organ called Press TV, that there's a website like that, mm-hmm. they have a tag, Haaretz. So if you want to reach all the anti-Israeli material that the Iranian government thinks you ought to read, you can find them conveniently under the tag of Haaretz. When Haaretz calls for an embargo, I think it crosses the line. I don't know that that's their editorial line. I don't think that they would take that risk, but they are certainly anti-Zionist. And don't get me wrong, an anti-Zionist paper has the right to exist. The way to fight Haaretz is not censorship. The way to fight Haaretz is just to expose them, because they keep hiding behind confusing rhetoric. I'll give you an example. Just on the eve of the massacre, they suddenly revealed their true colors when the editor of Haaretz declared a new project. You know how journalists do. It's a project a string of articles under the heading, "Perhaps it's time to take the word Jewish out of the phrase Jewish and democratic," meaning the state would be democratic and not Jewish. That is a direct rejection of Zionism. The piece had a very different name in English, because apparently they don't think they can be that blunt with their audience abroad. But Haaretz should be exposed for what it is. And now it has become so deranged that I think that our best weapon against them is ridicule. And you might know that they are certainly not supporters of the freedom of speech, and I should know, because they closed my column for exposing their fraudulent campaign against the judicial reform, which they kept calling a judicial coup. So I wrote a piece saying, look, what you're defending is not democracy. You're defending the rule of judges, which is anti-democratic. And so they closed my column.